Imagine you have this pristine, like totally clean 28-minute audio recording.
Right.
And there were exactly two people talking. Just two.
Okay.
But when you feed this perfectly clean file to a state-of-the-art AI, it confidently spits back a transcript claiming there were like five different people in the room.
Oh, wow. Five people.
Right. You listening to this right now, you might think voice recognition is a solved problem, you know. That
Yeah.
turning sound into words is basically just magic at this point.
Yeah, we take it for granted.
Totally. But today, we are doing a deep dive into this fascinating builder's log from a developer. They spent half a year trying to automate their voice memo transcriptions, and they ran headfirst into the genuinely maddening, incredibly difficult half of the equation, which is knowing who actually said the words.
Yeah, the who said it problem.
Exactly. Okay, let's unpack this,
Right.
because the journey to solve this five-speaker hallucination reveals some honestly really surprising blind spots in artificial intelligence.
Yeah, the technical term for this challenge is speaker diarization.
Diarization.
Right, exactly. It basically means partitioning an audio stream into segments according to speaker identity. So figuring out that speaker A is asking the question and speaker B is giving the answer.
Right, which sounds simple enough.
You'd think so. I mean, what this developer discovered is that parsing the acoustic data of the words themselves, that part is easy.
The transcription part.
Right. The transcription is easy. But parsing the messy, overlapping reality of human communication, that is where the machine completely misunderstands reality.
So the developer's first instinct, which I mean makes total sense to me, was to just throw the biggest, smartest AI at the problem. It started with Gemini.
Makes sense.
Right, it seems logical. Like, why
Okay.
can't we just feed a long audio file to a generalized large language model like Gemini and just let it figure out who is talking based on context clues?
Well, it's because generalized models fall into what developers call the long audio trap.
The long audio trap. Okay, what is that?
So, large language models have limits to their attention spans. When you hand Gemini a continuous audio file that runs past, say, 15 or 20 minutes, its contextual memory just degrades.
So it basically gets bored.
Basically, yeah. The attention mechanism dilutes to the point where it starts skipping sections, looping back to repeat things, and even fabricating timestamps just to cover its blind spots.
Wait, really? It just makes up timestamps.
It completely invents them.
It's wild how AI hallucination isn't just about making up facts. It literally fabricates the physics of time when it gets overwhelmed.
Exactly.
So to get around this memory limit, the developer tried a technique called chunking.
Right? Chumping.
They slice the audio up at the silence boundaries into manageable, like, 12-minute pieces. Then they processed each chunk in parallel, keeping everything within the AI's safe, you know, coherent range.
Which, to be fair, works perfectly for capturing the words,
Right.
but it completely shatters the diarization.
Because it forgets who is speaking.
Exactly. Every time a new 12-minute chunk starts, the AI resets its speaker count from zero. It has absolutely no memory of the previous chunk.
Oh, man. So you basically end up watching a movie where the director decided to recast all the main actors every 12 minutes, and they just didn't tell the audience.
That is a perfect way to describe it.
Like, Chunk One features Brad Pitt and George Clooney.
Yeah.
Then in Chunk Two, those same characters are suddenly played by, I don't know, Danny DeVito and Tom Hanks.
Right.
And you're just left scrambling to piece together who is playing who based purely on context clues. Because Chunk One's speaker zero might suddenly become Chunk Two's speaker one.
Yeah, it's chaotic.
If you've ever tried to follow a conversation at a loud dinner party where you keep tuning in and out, you can probably understand why the AI loses the plot when it's forced to keep restarting its attention like that.
Definitely. And what's fascinating here is how the developer tried to engineer a patch for this.
Oh, the overlap thing.
Yeah, they programmed a 60-second overlap between adjacent chunks. So chunk one and chunk two would share a minute of identical audio.
Okay, that sounds pretty smart, actually.
Right. The system was designed to use that overlap as a voting mechanism. It would match the acoustic signatures and the text to basically stitch the seams together and align the speaker numbering.
But relying on a seam holds a massive risk, right?
Right.
Like if the AI gets confused and votes incorrectly on just one of those 60-second overlaps.
When the error cascades down the rest of the file,
Oh, no.
yeah, it's a fatal flaw. It relies on absolute perfection at every single seam. If speaker zero gets mistakenly linked to speaker one at minute 12, a brand new speaker two is created to account for the leftover voice.
So it just adds a new person to the room.
Exactly. This causes the total speaker count to drift upwards permanently. The more seams you have in a long recording, the worse the speaker drift becomes.
Okay, so the core issue is that stitching chunks together is just too fragile. The logical next step, I guess, if the seams keep breaking, is to stop making seams entirely.
Precisely. You need a global pass.
Right. So the developer realizes they need to process the whole file at once. They pivot away from Gemini and Wire in this specialized edge model called Senko.
Senko, yes.
Which runs directly on Apple Silicon. It processes end-to-end, which theoretically fixes the numbering drift.
Yeah.
We don't have new actors walking on set every 12 minutes anymore.
A global pass definitely gives you structural consistency, but, you know, fixing one bug usually uncovers another deeper behavioral issue.
It's always another bug.
Always. Senko had a habit that the developer simply couldn't train out of it. It fundamentally misunderstood human social dynamics.
Yes, the back channel bug. Here's where it gets really interesting to me, because it touches on how humans actually converse. When we talk, it's not a rigid walkie-talkie exchange.
Yeah.
I don't say over and wait in pure silence.
Right.
While you are explaining something, I'm making these little noises. Like, yeah, right.
Exactly.
They're just social cues that tell you I'm engaged. But to Senko, every single one of those little was interpreted as an entirely new person barging into the room.
Yeah, the developer tested this on that 28-minute clip, and Senko barely managed to keep it to two speakers. But on longer recordings, it was scoring 3, 4, 5 people.
Just from people saying?
Yes. It couldn't comprehend that a primary speaker and a background agreeer were part of a unified two-person dynamic.
So they even took a detour here to try Dubao ASR from Volcano Engine, right?
They did, yeah.
Because they wanted a model that could handle Chinese-English code switching. Like people fluidly swapping between two languages in the exact same sentence.
And Dubao was incredible at that part.
Yeah, the transcription was clean. It understood the natural rhythm of a bilingual speaker. But the diarization was a total disaster.
A complete mess.
Dubao Fast Edition scored 5 people on that same two-person 28-minute clip. The 2.0 edition scored 4.
Right.
Wait, so the AI is sophisticated enough to understand complex bilingual code switching, but it lacks the basic social awareness to realize someone saying, isn't a ghost entering the room?
Well, if we connect this to how these neural networks are architected, it actually makes perfect sense.
Really? How so?
Models like Senko and Dubao are automatic speech recognition models, ASR. Their singular obsession is capturing words accurately.
Okay.
Diarization is just a byproduct for them. When identifying speakers is just a side quest for a general ASR model, it operates defensively.
Meaning it's terrified of missing a word.
Precisely. From the model's perspective, it is much safer to oversplit than to merge.
Ah.
If it hears a primary voice and then a slightly muffled in the background, it lacks the contextual reasoning to say, oh, that's just the other person agreeing.
Right. It just thinks, oh, sound anomaly.
Exactly. It sees an acoustic anomaly overlapping the primary channel. To avoid missing any transcription data, it isolates that anomaly and assigns it a brand new speaker ID. It is optimizing for words, not people.
Okay, so general models and standard ASR tools are out.
Mm.
The developer realizes they need a specialized enterprise model, which of course forces them out of consumer tools and into enterprise architecture.
And that introduces an entirely new, deeply human problem.
Enterprise bureaucracy.
The authentication maze.
Yes, sir.
We spend so much time analyzing the theoretical limits of neural networks, but the thing that actually drains a developer's time is often just invisible infrastructure hurdles.
Yeah, they are using Volcano speech services, and there is a massive gotcha hidden in their documentation.
Wow, huge one.
Volcano uses 2 completely separate authentication systems. If you use their old developer console, you get an app ID and an access token. But if you use their new console, you get a single XABI key header.
Right.
The developer tried to call the newer 2.0 endpoint using their old app ID, and the server just kept spitting back a resource not granted error. It cost them 30 minutes of testing.
And an error message like resource not granted is just spectacularly unhelpful.
It's the worst. Implies you haven't paid your bill or you lack permission.
Exactly. It doesn't tell you that your credentials are in the wrong format for that specific endpoint.
It's like trying to unlock a smart door with a physical metal key. You have a right to enter the house, but the system is expecting a digital fingerprint, and it just flashes a red arrow light instead of telling you to use the scanner.
That's exactly it.
But this raises an important question. Why even have these two separate systems? Why not just stick to the app IDs?
It really comes down to modernizing software architecture. Legacy systems often rely on, you know, cumbersome combinations of app IDs, tokens, and secrets passed through the URL or the body of a request.
Kind of messy.
Very messy. Moving to a single X API key in the HTTP header is cleaner, it's more secure for programmatic access, and it standardizes how different services talk to each other.
Okay, that makes sense.
The problem isn't the new standard. The problem is the legacy systems duct taped to the new systems without clear documentation. The fix was literally just swapping the header in the code to use the new console's X API key.
And suddenly the request went through immediately. Half a day lost to a header tag. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But once they navigated that bureaucratic maze, they finally gained access to a model that actually cracked the code.
Yes.
A tool called MeowGy, or Lark Minutes ASR, also from Volcano. And the fundamental difference here is that MeowGy doesn't treat diarization as a byproduct.
Right.
It performs the speaker identification server side as a dedicated first-class task.
Mm.
But how does it actually do that differently than Dubao or Senko?
Well, instead of just listening for overlapping noise and guessing, a purpose-built system like MeowGy maps distinct vocal profiles.
Vocal profiles, okay.
Yeah. It creates acoustic embeddings, which are essentially digital voice prints. It analyzes pitch, cadence, and vocal tract characteristics completely independent of the text being spoken.
Oh, wow. So it's not even listening to the words for that part.
Nope. By separating the task of identifying the voice print from the task of transcribing the words, it can accurately attribute that background mm-mm to the existing voice print rather than inventing a new person.
So what does this all mean? The developer ran four different two-person conversations through MeowGy, recording spanning 28 minutes, 38 minutes, 57 minutes, and 68 minutes long.
Pretty solid sample sizes.
Yeah, and across the board, on every single one, MeowGy nailed exactly two speakers. Zero hallucinations, zero back-channel ghosts.
That consistency across varying lengths really proves the value of a specialized architecture.
But the ultimate stress test is what really sold me. They fed it a 3.4 five-hour multi-character drama track.
Oh, man.
Just a chaotic, long-form piece of audio with a huge cast.
That's a nightmare for an AI.
Totally. Yeah. The other models either outright crashed from the file size or they hallucinated 10 different speakers.
Not surprising.
But MeowGy swallowed the entire 3.5-hour file in one single pass and scored three speakers, which, for a complex drama track with sound effects and overlapping dialogue, is incredibly close to reality.
It really is.
It's just about not asking a tool to do a job it wasn't built for. Like, you don't ask a master chef to fix the plumbing in your restaurant just because they both work in the same building, right? You let a tool do the job it was specifically engineered to do.
Exactly. The ultimate lesson here is intentionality in model design. In the rush to build, you know, these massive generalist AI models that can write code, paint pictures, and transcribe audio, we sacrifice specialized precision.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Exactly. Diarization is a complex orchestration of acoustic mapping. It deserves to be its own dedicated job. And MeowGy proves that when you allocate dedicated compute to that specific problem, it is entirely solvable.
So they found the perfect model. The AI problem is officially solved.
Almost.
Right, because there is a final boss in this developer's log.
Mm.
Finding the model is only part of the battle. You still have to physically get your local audio file to the model across the globe.
Yeah, the logistics of data transfer.
This brings us to the actual physics of the internet. MeowGy has a hard requirement. It will not accept a local file upload directly from your computer. It requires a publicly fetchable URL.
Which forces the developer to upload their audio to an object storage bucket first, and then hand that link to the AI. They used Volcano's TOS, their object storage, which is physically located in Shanghai.
Right. So for the AI model running in the same region, fetching that file is lightning fast. But the developer is sitting in the U.S. They have to upload the file from the U.S. to Shanghai.
And it was brutal.
Brutal. A single stream upload ran at a crawling 34 kilobytes per second. It took nearly 4 minutes just to upload an 8-megabyte file.
Yeah.
Which completely defeats the purpose of an automated fast transcription pipeline. I mean, if the upload takes longer than the conversation, the automation is basically useless.
This is where theory collides with the physical reality of fiber optic cables and standard internet protocols.
But the developer discovered a quirk about cross-border internet links. They didn't upgrade their internet package. They just changed how the file was sent.
Right.
They switched to a parallel multi-part upload. They basically split the file into tiny pieces and sent them all at the exact same time. and the exact same 8-megabyte file on the exact same internet connection uploaded in 5 seconds.
4 minutes to 5 seconds.
Wait, so the internet bandwidth itself wasn't the problem. The pipe was wide enough, they just needed to drive more cars down it. Just to clarify for a second, this has to do with how the internet handles the handshake between servers, right? Like TCP connections making sure data actually arrives.
That is the exact mechanism. Under a standard single TCP connection, your computer sends a packet of data and then waits for an acknowledgement from Shanghai before sending the next one.
Okay, so it waits.
Yeah, and because the physical distance across the Pacific Ocean is so vast, that round-trip time is high. Latency increases. To prevent data loss over that long distance, the protocol artificially throttles the speed per connection.
Oh, I get it.
The system basically says, this is taking a long time to get a response. Let's slow down so we don't drop anything.
So the throttle was just acting like a cautious speed limit on one specific lane of traffic.
Mm.
By switching to a parallel multi-part upload, they stopped trying to force one massive truck down a single lane.
Exactly.
They broke the cargo down, opened up 20 different lanes simultaneously, and sent a fleet of fast little sports cars. Each individual connection was still subjected to the speed limit, but combined, they saturated the actual available bandwidth of the fiber optic pipe.
The physics of this cross-border quirk are invaluable for anyone building systems that rely on international servers. When a cross-border upload crawls, don't immediately blame your local bandwidth.
Open more connections.
Open more connections. The pipe is often clear, you just aren't utilizing all the lanes.
It's such a brilliant hack for traffic management. Looking back at this developer's half-year loop, it really puts things into perspective for me.
Mm.
Turning speech into text was never the bottleneck. We've mastered the words.
Right, the words are easy.
What blocked them for 6 months was the who said it half. Navigating Gemini's broken, drifting seams. Dealing with ASR models hallucinating ghosts every time someone said yeah in the background.
Getting lost in that API authentication maze.
Right. And finally, hacking the physics of trans-Pacific data transfer just to get the audio to the server. They finally found success with Miaoji by trusting a specialized tool, and their companion skill now defaults to it. They even put together an open source survey to help others building meeting recording pipelines avoid these exact traps.
It really highlights the persistence required in modern software development. The frictionless magic we experience as end users is built on top of months of trial, error, and overcoming incredibly obscure technical hurdles.
So for you listening, the next time you're sitting in a meeting or you read one of those incredibly clean AI transcripts that perfectly labels who spoke and when, take a second to realize the sheer amount of specialized computing, architectural design, and raw trial and error that was required just to figure out who said yeah.
It is hard-won engineering, not magic.
Definitely. But it leaves me thinking about the future. If an AI struggles this much to identify discrete voices in a clean, high-quality two-person recording, how on earth will these models evolve to handle the chaotic reality we actually live in? Imagine an in-person meeting with spatial audio, people pacing around an echoey conference room, three people aggressively talking over each other in an argument. How does an AI begin to untangle the physical acoustics of a truly chaotic room?
It's a daunting problem.
It really is. Something for you to mull over until our next deep dive.